Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Really would like a second take with that one. We welcome you to the show. Thanks for being here on a Thursday. Got your host, James, behind the mic. Our head of production, Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
You could make it sound good, though. You could. You'll sound better in post.
Sure, yeah.
We kick off every show the way we like to with our friend Brittany Merlot, talking Little Mother Nature. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. You guys are good news, because the second you started talking, the sun came out in Wausau. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Didn't know we had that kind of power.
Just like we timed it.
Yes.
You know, just trying to rock, hit that. That's why I kind of mucked up the beginning and sounded so rough. I wanted to time it so well.
Sure you did.
Stretch. You got to stretch.
Best friends with Mother Nature now.
Yeah, that would be a great, that would be a really good best friend to have. That would be a good one. What are we looking at for today, Brittany?
Well, those clouds are going to kick on out of here. Give it like an hour at max. It'll be mostly sunny this afternoon, highs in the low to mid-70s, and winds barely moving out of the northeast. So a really calm, comfortable day again today. But tonight, it gets cold. With those clear skies and winds barely moving, we do drop down to the mid-40s.
Oof.
Thankfully, we're staying away from a frost advisory. Up north, if you're headed to the Northwoods or you're leaving for this long weekend early and you're going north, oh, it is going to drop down to the low to mid-30s, up into like Vilas, Iron, Ashland County area.
Ooh.
That's tonight.
Bring your long underwear.
Frosty summer.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Now, we are going to stay cooler, obviously. We have a teeny, teeny, tiny chance for a little bit of rain tomorrow afternoon. But after that, nothing. High pressure system holds steady Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We're going to be in the mid to upper 70s. So it's looking warmer than it was earlier this week. And it's even going to get a little muggy and summery again on Monday for Labor Day. So if you're wanting to do the water fun last little bit of summer, you're still going to have just as much sunshine and comfortable temperatures to do it. So honestly, a good weekend. I'm so excited for it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it sounds really nice, especially leading into a three-day weekend for a lot of us. Very exciting. Yay. And very good news. We appreciate that, Brittany. Thank you so much. We'll get people ready for the weekend tomorrow. You have a good one.
You too. Thanks.
Best in the business. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right in this time slot. We appreciate her. It's so fun hanging out with her. We got good things to hang out with you about. We're going to get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club in a little bit. We have an article, What's the Most Useless Job That People Are Paid For? And we got some interesting ones in there, as you can imagine. This is a comedy show. We will be leading into that. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour the way we like to on a Thursday with our Pet of the Week from the South Oconee Humane Society.
Very nice.
Big thank you to Denise joining us. We're looking forward to that. And joining us on our special one for our National Day of Calendar. We'll get into that, how that ties into our Pet of the Week a little bit later. We got entertainment news. Were Liam and Pamela lying to us, Seth?
What?
I know.
What?
We'll get into that. That's coming up a little bit later. Also, got a couple of other interesting ones, Greg, and that. I want to talk about a little bit what's new on your small screen tonight, what's new on your TV screen. There's an interesting show that is premiering I want to mention.
All right.
And, of course, I wanted to talk a little bit about our newsletter. More on that later. All of those things, along with dog-themed songs that made the top 40 on Billboard's Hot 100.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting into that.
Let's right into our wheelhouse right now.
We'll play a little bit of those songs for you and everything. I've got them keyed up. We'll get into that. And I thought it was fitting today on our Pet of the Week.
Totally. Yeah.
Got to lean into the theme.
Yeah.
I am a theme guy. If everybody hasn't been able to tell in the last 9 years or so, going on nine years, I believe, next month. So all of that said, Guinness World Records. These are one of the things
those
we like
fun.
To cover around here. Well, Guinness World Records is celebrating its 70th anniversary by challenging fans to attempt 70 unclaimed titles, including the fastest 400-meter sack race.
Oh, wow. What?
Huh?
Really? That one hasn't been done?
No.
Wow.
And tell me that as soon as I said that, other people weren't thinking the same thing.
Well, I can do a sack race.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Certainly, I'm thinking, because I've been talking about this for a while. I want us to try to break a world record here as a morning show and everything. As a stations, you know, I want us to try to do this. But I will be honest, I've been struggling with what ones we could do.
Right.
we could go over to like Winterfield or something like that and do this.
I mean,
and have some fun, man. We could have some fun with this.
We could get a lot of people involved in this. It'd be I think it'd be a treat to do something like that. Yes.
Keep an ear out for that one, everybody.
I wonder what the most people, if there's a record for the most people in a sack race.
Oh,
is maybe that's something we could could shoot for.
Oh, that's
largest
really good.
Sack race ever.
Yes,
largest sack race.
Maybe that's one of the whole genre of sack race records that we can go for here.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
The world record for the largest sack race competition was set in the Netherlands on October 11th in 2002,
okay.
with 2,095 competitors.
2,095. I think we could. Do you think we could beat that one?
It's not bad. I think we could top that
one. We would need a large area like Winterfield, in order to do it, kind of thing. But I don't know, man.
I think it's worth it. We got to put that one. Bad ideas.
We have a network of radio stations throughout the entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We could get the word out, man. We could get the word out.
So I'm kind of teasing this one because next week, Wednesday, when we get back together, we will go over a little bit of these records.
Okay.
And get into some of these. But there's some fun ones there. And I think it's going to be an interesting conversation now that you brought up those. That I didn't even think of that. Man, now my brain is spinning.
The gears are grinding.
I can't stop thinking about like record these sack race kind of things and stuff. We do a show together. We do a couple of shows together. What am I saying? This poor guy has to put up with me more than any. No person has to hear my voice more than Seth. maybe some of our other producers around
here. At some point, it's just background noise.
It's got to be like white noise after a certain point. But one of the shows we do, Sports Playmakers and everything. I just got done. Michael joined me yesterday. We had a lot of fun with that, talking a lot of high school sports especially. Mm. Got some high school sports coming up for you.
Yes.
As we're wrapping up baseball season, and we were talking about collecting and card collecting yesterday. Ooh. I came across this story. Okay. Sports card company Topps, maybe the oldest, most famous card company. They're a card
for sure. Definitely.
They're releasing a collectible card featuring an unlikely baseball star, a squirrel that ran into the field during a New York Mets and Boston Red Sox game. The squirrel briefly stopped by a play during Friday's game when it ran out onto the field at Yankee Stadium during the top of the fourth inning and approached Yankee pitcher Max Fried. quote, that's the first time it's happened to me, Fried said. My first reaction was, don't do anything that might embarrass you. That's genuine.
That is so good. Yeah, exactly. That's genuine. Middle of Yankee Stadium with thousands of people watching. Yeah.
Play resumed when the squirrel made its way to the foul zone and the animal was last seen darting through the chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
The animal failed to reach rally squirrel status as the Yankees went on to lose. But Topps revealed a new Topps Now card on Saturday featuring photos of the squirrel.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
Is the card is listed as $8.99 right now.
Yeah, right. So this is a program. I don't know if a lot of people know this, that Topps does. They have an instant card thing that they do now, where they, if something interesting happens or someone breaks a record or has a personal thing, you can go to their website and you get a limited edition card of that thing. Now, they only do it for a certain amount of time. And they only have a limited number of cards that they do for this. So it's kind of interesting. If you want like a very special, specific card, they can do that for you, which is kind of cool.
I think it's cool. I think it's really smart.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's great marketing.
Really smart way of doing it. And how do you stay into this day and age?
Right.
I do think it's really cool just in general that card collecting is a thing. And I don't do it anymore. And when I was a kid, I collected all the sports and everything.
Right.
But even the Pokemon stuff and everything. Yeah, I don't care. I think it's cool that kids are still doing that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It is fun.
And it's certainly great for the business.
Yeah, like, it is, 100%.
A postcard lost in the mail for 72 years arrived at an Illinois post office where officials were able to track down and contact the now 88-year-old sender.
They found, oh my gosh.
Return to sender.
Yeah.
The postcard, which was sent by Alan Ball to his parents, Frederick and Elizabeth Ball, in 1953, arrived recently at the Ottawa post office where postmaster Mark Thompson took an interest in the mystery.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I would think that this would be one of the more interesting parts of working at a post office.
Absolutely.
You know, you get these letters that get, you hear about this from time to time. Yep. It was stuck somewhere.
Yeah, they found it in or behind a wall or something, right, that they're renovating, yeah.
Thompson said the card, which depicts the UN building in New York, was likely mishandled at the post office inside the United Nations and ended up lost in the crevice or other scene location for decades.
Oh, wow.
The postmaster enlisted the help of local genealogists to locate Alan Ball, who now lives in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
Interestingly, as a side note, Alan Ball is also a fantastic TV creator. He created 6 Feet Under and some other great shows. So it would have been funny if it was that Alan Ball. It would have been really funny. He'd have turned it into a show.
Right.
Ball, who was shown a digital image of the card, said he recognized his own handwriting, mm-hmm. but he doesn't remember mailing the card.
Oh, wow.
He does, however, remember spending a short time in New York on his way to a summer trip in Puerto Rico in 1953.
Oh, how about that? Sending a postcard, you know, which is what people used to do. You know, I'm in New York now, and I send it back home to the people. That's kind of cool.
It's not just that I don't remember what I had for breakfast. I don't remember the last time I had breakfast. Like, so I don't want to sound like, you know, messing with the guy's memory or anything. Right. But that'd be weird to me to not remember sending a postcard. That whatever age you are,
I don't know. I would have to have my memory jogged to be sure if something like that happened to me, I'd send a card and it never got there and whatever, and all of a sudden it comes back to you. It's like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I would remember it then, but I can't. I've sent postcards, you know, many over the years. I don't remember them all.
The postcard 72-year journey pales in comparison to a similar incident that occurred last year when a postcard arrived at its intended address in Wales 121 years after the date of its postmark. Whoa. A Royal Mail spokesman speculated the postcard had somehow re-entered the system as opposed to being lost in transit, which is another wild
thing, man.
So there's the thing where you find this, you're a post office worker, you find this random piece mm-hmm. of mail that's been lost for 100-some years.
Right.
And instead of, like, the mystery part, you become a 3-year-old that just broke the cookie jar. You're like, oh, get away from me. Get away. Get away. And you're running away.
Put it in the mail. Put it in the mail.
I love instances in society and in life where we see adults revert back to being a 4 or 5-year-old. One of the best, if not the best example of this is sports, and particularly football. Mm-hmm. Or basketball, I guess, to a degree. When another guy fouls and everybody points. Or especially when somebody jumps on the offensive line or something like that. Or the
defensive line, everyone's pointing at each other.
Look, he did it. He did it. He did not me. It was him. I love it when that happens in sports.
These giant men, right? And then they're all of a sudden they turn into like little kids again.
6'5", 400-pound giants and everything. And immediately, like, I didn't do it. He did it. It was his fault.
It's all him. It was all him.
I love when that stuff happens. We're going to get to the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club in a moment. But it is a Thursday. And not only with our Pet of the Week, is that a tradition? But it has become a tradition about our release of our newsletter and us promoting that. Well, we have a little bit of news for you on that
one.
Yes. No pun intended.
News for the newsletter, myself. Yeah.
So there is going to be an invite-only, and I stress invite-only event over at the Ridges with Derek Van Orten and Jim Jordan. Mm-hmm. They are not speaking to people, not speaking to constituents, just invites and that.
Yep.
But Melissa is going to be covering that for us. Mm-hmm. So with that, we want to make sure to get that article into the newsletter. You don't want to wait a week for something like that. That's just not how news works, especially in 2025.
No.
You got to get it out there as soon as you can.
Right.
But we also want to do it accurately and do it right. Mm-hmm. So that is what Melissa is going to be doing. So the newsletter will premiere tomorrow at noon.
Yes. So just a day later than that, but it's a very important story, and we want to make sure she gets it into the newsletter for you guys. So we are stopping the presses.
Yes.
Literally stopping the presses so we can get the big story in there, right?
It was always interesting hearing stories about when that would actually happen, when they would stop the presses and how, like, they would be set back
for hours
because of that kind of thing.
Resetting those things was not easy.
We don't have to worry about that.
No, we don't. It's a little easier now.
Yeah. We just update you guys, let you know, and sure, and be sure to be looking out for it tomorrow at noon. Mm-hmm. And while you're waiting, there are a million different articles waiting for you over there, or a bunch of our podcasts that you can check out at WFHR.com.
Right.
I want to send a big shout out to our news team, and specifically Melissa, hunting these things down and going the extra mile on these projects, on these stories.
Right.
In this day and age where we have less and less journalism literally every day, every other day you are hearing about this article or this journalist retiring, this company is no longer in business, this newspaper is no longer around.
Right.
It has never been more necessary to have this kind of reporting being done.
Right.
We got people working really hard at it. I appreciate you, Mel, and the good work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I read that just like she wrote it. I think I did a pretty good job. I put a little bit of my own twist in it. You know, I wanted to make it sound like it was my own. No. She's nice work, Melissa. We'll be back with more show coming up, a morning show at WFHR. You heard the boys. Time to do some celebrating with our good friends at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite segments we get to do all week is the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Mm-hmm. We get to talk about El Cafe, encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Enjoy. Can't think of a better way to kick off a Thursday than over at El Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Got some great specials for you and a wonderful menu and some amazing people. You can find out more if you go to their Facebook page. I encourage you to do that. Subscribe to it and keep it up to date and all the things they're doing.
That's right.
Yeah, buy local, support local, support our friends at El Cafe. Mm-hmm. Good morning to them over there. And encourage you to get us more birthdays and anniversaries. Really appreciate you guys doing this. I was asked the other day by a listener, when's the last time you went like a day or two without birthdays or anniversaries?
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. I think since we moved to this building, we've never had a day we haven't had at least one birthday.
Yeah. We've been really lucky. You guys keep getting them to us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We want you more of them, though.
Always.
info@WFHR.com. You can email us that way. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up
715-424-2600 and give us that birthday on the air, or wish someone a birthday on the air. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. We'll get it that way too.
Look forward to hearing from you. Feel free to reach out anytime, everybody. Seth, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right, gives us that qualifier. First up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Lauren Wilson.
Happy birthday, Lauren.
Lauren, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And wishing you a wonderful day. And our qualifier today, Brian Stainbrook.
Happy birthday, Brian, and congratulations, qualifier.
Yes, yes. Congrats to you, Brian. As we get into these last days of August, you got into the cut. You made the cut.
You made the cut.
Congrats to you. And keep on listening to all you qualifiers out there, because in just next week, next Tuesday, we'll be announcing our winner for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary
that's
Club.
That's right. Oh, my goodness.
We will get that for you. It might be you, Brian, so be listening.
That's right.
Thanks so much for getting us that birthday and anniversary, everybody. Taking a look at who you share your birthday or your anniversary with, one of the most original, powerful, just wonderful voices I've heard in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Florence Welch is 39.
Yes.
Leader of Florence and the Machine. Of course, Dog Days Are Over is one of her bigger ones. Mm-hmm. She's got one, Seven Sins, that is incredible writing and work. Her voice is remarkable. It's
powerful.
It is memorable.
So powerful.
It's one of those ones that you will not forget once you hear it.
No.
But her lyrics are just as good. Her lyrics are just as good as her voice, I think.
Yeah.
She's a really good lyricist. Wonderful artist. Also really like self-deprecating and all these things. Has a great personality to her, I think. I did not know the music. I hadn't heard Dog Days Are Over or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They were going to be on SNL. I'm sorry. No, vice versa on this. I'm thinking of somebody else. Okay. I hear that song, Dog Days Are Over. I love it. It's a great song. Most people like it. But as good as her voice is, I've been tricked. You know, there's great singers, and then you hear them on Saturday Night Live or something, and they're not that great.
Yep.
To me, SNL is such a great example. For one, it's live. The obvious parts about it, you know, the amount of people watching. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, they should not have music there. It is not built for music.
No, it's a stage for doing television shows. Yeah, basically.
The acoustics are horrible. The sound gets eaten alive there. It's one of the reasons why they're very, you're seeing more and more recent artists having almost walls up as part of their stage gear and stuff. Or you'll see the opposite where a band will spread out.
Right.
And that.
Try to get the sound to spread out.
Yeah,
right?
you can talk to this much more. I know little bits of this kind of information as far as sound and the way it travels and everything, but okay, let's see how she does on SNL.
Right.
She goes on there and she sounds better live.
Yeah.
It's incredible. She's just an incredible artist.
Yep.
Happy 39th to Florence Welch.
Nice.
And look at the singers we've got celebrating birthdays today.
Okay, wow.
We did a little of this on the Sunrise Show at 105.5 WIRI. Leanne Rimes is 43 today.
Mm-hmm.
Her version of Blue is one of the greatest songs I'll ever hear.
Yeah, it's a wonderful recording. She was 13 years old when she did it.
It's interesting, you know, you meet people that, oh, they have an old soul. Mm-hmm. I've never heard a voice that sounds that way.
Right.
Yeah, that's her voice. And Shania Twain is 60 today.
That's awesome.
Incredible singers, incredible voices.
The two, successful. I mean, Shania Twain was probably one of the most, if not the most successful artists of the 1990s. I think she had the best-selling album, I believe, in the 90s. So, yes.
It's wild to think that Garth Brooks happens before that. And you know, I would think, oh, that's the biggest country star of the 90s right there. And then she shows up.
Yep. And just blows it out of the water. I mean, it's amazing.
Really good voice, too.
Yes.
Really, really strong singer. And while not known as a singer, somewhat, to some people, I think he might be, Jack Black is 56 today. He's got a great voice.
He does. And of course, his group Tenacious D has been around for a very long time. But I think most people know him now as an actor, of course. But I mean, he's amazing. I see now that in movies, they just find ways for him to sing.
Yes.
And actually write his own song. They'd say, hey, Jack, you want to write a song for this? And he will. He'll just write a song off the cuff kind of thing.
There's a number of people that didn't know that he could sing. And they didn't know Jack Black for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
John Cusack, Kevin Smith, a couple of these people talk about it. And like, we knew you were hilarious. Bob Odenkirk, another one. He's like, you could sing? Like, they didn't know these things. Jack Black gets, I think one of his big roles was in the movie High Fidelity, an underrated John Cusack movie.
Right.
I love that movie. Like all John Cusack. Well, a lot of John Cusack movies. It's angsty and all that.
Right.
There's a lot of great, like, social commentary in there about music snobs and things like that, I think, that are really good. A lot of great 90s actors.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Black shows up. It ends with Jack Black singing Marvin Gaye classic, Let's Get It On.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the better covers you'll hear. It's not one of the best covers, I mean, but for its context.
I'm telling you.
He nails it, man. And I'm the biggest Marvin Gaye fan you'll ever hear. You're ever going to meet.
Right.
And I think he nails it. I think he does a really respectful, cool job with it.
Well, I'm still surprised, though, people didn't know that. He was in a movie called School of Rock. Seriously.
Well, I mean, I think before all that.
It was probably before that. Before all that.
Right. But yeah, you're right. You're right. Jennifer Coolidge is 64. Wonderful. Again, voice and a great actor. She's one of those actors who got their break really late from the American Pie movies, being Stifler's mom.
Yep.
And she's turned it into doing commercial work and all this other
stuff. She's had a great career. Yeah. I love the fact that it was, you know, the later career, James.
Yeah, yes.
Hope springs eternal. You never know what'll happen.
Hanging on to that, all right. One of our greater Olympians, Scott Hamilton, is 67 today.
Ooh.
Old school Olympic gold medal winning figure skater. Mm-hmm. A lot of younger people might know him as well as an amazing commentator on skating.
He became like the standard of commentating for figure skating. He's done such a good job of explaining it to people who don't know a lot about figure skating, which is what I don't. So every time I heard him, he made a lot of sense, and he was very good at communicating that.
My dad always liked hearing him talk, and he also watched him.
Yep.
And as much as I'm a homer and I love the Olympics, all that said, his greatest victory is beating testicular cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to him, and not only that, but sharing that and all those things. Guys can get a little sensitive sharing that information. We got to get better about that, men.
Right.
I can't think of that seems like punkish behavior. As men, we can face this stuff. What, are we going to be afraid of talking about cancer?
Aren't we supposed to be brave? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah,
so be brave and talk about
this
stuff.
Lean into the stereotype, guys, and pull out that man card.
What are you being brave about, I think, is what we needed to talk about.
Same thing with prostate cancer and not only talking about it, but getting that dang test done.
Yeah.
I say we flip the script on this. We need to.
Yeah.
It's important. We've lost too many people. Off the top of my head, I've lost three different people to prostate cancer. Let's get out of this uncomfortableness. Let's face this. Cancer's not afraid of us. Cancer's not afraid to do these things. Cancer's not afraid of any of this stuff. So we need to face that with the same energy. And I admire and I appreciate that he did that. Some people no longer with us, like Wayne Osman, born on this day in 1951.
Okay.
One Bad Apple.
One of the Osman brothers. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. That's it. Yeah. And Roxy Roker, born on this day in 1929. Helen Willis on the Jeffersons.
Oh, wow.
She's responsible for also Lenny Kravitz, you know.
That's true.
Lenny Kravitz is mom.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary list, but we encourage you to get us more for tomorrow. Of course, we celebrate all weekend tomorrow, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Get them to us, everybody.
Yep.
We'll be back after our break here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. August morning.
Yeah.
We got to get it.
We are still in August, though.
It is still in August. You can only play it for a couple more days.
I know.
And to that point, we will be changing things up next Tuesday when we are joining you for the morning show. We will have a new intro theme.
Yep, that's
and,
right.
And we'll have some new bumpers, possibly, and everything. So we'll see. We'll see. We're looking forward to that. They'll be around.
It depends how much time I have.
Yeah, I was trying not to put that on you. I was really trying.
The theme song will be there. The theme song will be there, though.
I appreciate the work, bro. And great stuff for the summer bumpers. Remember these, because these will be great next year. They're really good ones. And that's a good job. That's a good job that you're talking about right there that you do. It's an important one. It is a big part of what we do here in radio and something that I think is very relatable no matter what you do out there.
That's right.
You have your title, you have your job that you were hired for, and then there are all these kind of, if it's a tree, all these branches that come off of it of all the other jobs you do. And more in society, we're finding this. We're doing more and more jobs. We're hiring people for this and they're doing X amount of things as well.
Right.
And I think this used to exist in a lot of industries, but now it's every industry is like this.
Yeah.
More and more is being put on people's plates.
Right.
And then there are the jobs that nobody asked for. and that's the way I look at this, because the way they're titling it is the most useless jobs that people are paid for.
Right.
Most useless job people are paid for. I think that it's more so are these jobs that we don't really need a job,
for.
I don't like the idea of saying useless. I think there is use for almost anything in life. It's just who is it usable to, and is it something you should really be paid for?
Right. That's a great point. Yeah.
Like reaction videos. Or reaction videos of anything, really.
Right.
Not all of these are people are paid for their content, so we're not talking about them.
Right.
If you're doing it for fun, you're doing it for whatever reasons.
Right, yeah.
I've seen ones of music teachers that have never listened to this artist, and they listen to the artist for the first time, and you see the... That's kind of fun.
Yeah, right.
But the paid ones, there's somebody in their pocket, I don't know.
Yeah, is that really a career? I mean, it's more like just a fun thing, like you said. I mean, those ones are entertaining when you see people, you know, finding out about new things, right? New music and stuff. But yeah.
Now, let me make sure that I make this very, very clear, though. I don't necessarily respect some of these things in these, quote, jobs.
Okay.
And I don't think that it's a smart, use of your time, maybe necessarily, or any of those things. But man, if somebody's going to pay you to do this.
Well, so much.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I used to hear people get bent out of shape all the time about players, getting mad about a player signing bonus. Somebody's going to give you extra money, and what are you going to do, turn it down? Don't give me more money for signing my name. Would you turn it down?
Seriously.
There? Like, come on.
Why would you?
Somebody's going to pay you to sit there and react to a song. Like, take the money, man. Like, take it while you can. Influencing shows up on this list.
Okay.
This is any content online that people are paid to promote to their followers.
Mm.
Actual ads, hidden in ads, demonstrations, and reviews.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's anybody out there doing this nowadays that is not sponsored, that does not have somebody in their pocket.
Right. Right. It's for me, as long as it's clear, you know, that there's a relationship there, that's fine. Whatever business it is that's promoting it. Just be open and upfront about it. Okay. Then we know where you're coming from. Right. Don't try to be sneaky or stupid. Like, the way, have you seen this new item from, X Corp of thing? No, don't do that.
It, like when I try to insert Acme products into our show.
Yes.
I shouldn't do it.
But to be fair, it's not very sneaky.
And to be honest, they don't really pay me that well. They really don't. They it's not a very good paycheck I get from Acme. So
yeah, just be upfront about it. Just say what you're doing. That's fine.
Again, I mean, I respect any hustle, and if you're getting paid to do this, sure. But I also feel for anybody who is taking this, you know, as canon or verbatim. You know, you got to understand these things. More and more, we need to be upfront about this, and it leads me into politicians. And they say similarly, televangelists. Now,
what? Whoa! Hey, wait a minute.
That's a big stretch there.
That's two different things.
Yeah. Focusing on the politician part of things.
Okay.
It is low hanging fruit to make fun of politicians. I admit that I do it from time to time myself.
Sure.
But when it comes down to people doing these jobs right, that's something that they should be paid for, and they should be paid decently for.
Right. Right.
You know, we need representation. We need good people out there doing these jobs.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we have a lot of people who have somebody in their pocket.
Right. What it's become, right? Yeah.
And I want to see a bill that is a federal bill. And it doesn't have to be on a local level, maybe, but when we're talking about congressmen, we're talking about senators, we're talking about our vice president, our president. I want NASCAR. I want NASCAR rules. If the NRA is going to give you money, fine. Mm-hmm. Put it on your lapel. Put it right there. None of these people are actually wearing, you know, American flags 24/7. But as soon as they're going to be on camera, they got to put an American flag on. Right.
Right. Right.
That's the pandering that we see nowadays. Yeah. So along with that, as long as you're putting stuff on that lapel, I want to see an NRA flag. I want to see a Nike flag. Mm-hmm. I want to see whatever is in your pocket.
Yep.
If a politician isn't okay with this, if this bill does not get passed, you're telling me you're hiding something and you're not doing the job right. It's about the money and not the people.
Yeah. Yep.
I also don't believe the politicians should be paid more than minimum wage.
We had a discussion yesterday.
Nothing. There's no way you can convince me that any single politician, I mean any, from the lowest to the top, should not be paid more than minimum wage.
Right.
If you want to be paid more than that, that's fine. Don't get into politics.
Or raise the minimum wage.
Or possibly raise the minimum wage.
To a living wage. How about that?
These are two hills that I will die on. Mm-hmm. And I beg somebody to convince me of otherwise. I would love to be wrong about these things. But I don't think, unless we see stuff like that, of course you're going to see politicians show up on this list.
Yes.
Because the majority of what we've experienced with politics, but there's also one other side of this.
Okay.
And I talk about this from time to time too. The way we talk about politicians, the way we refer to them when we're watching them on the news or we're doing a show like this. Now our show, I'm gathering that there's probably not a lot of younger listeners out there. We're not really huge in the grade school market.
Really? Oh. I've been trying to get those guys for years.
Kids are sponges. And when you're talking about, in every single politician that's on the TV, you call a liar, you call a crook, or anything like that. As they get older, what do you think they're going to think of politics?
Exactly.
What do you think they're going to think of politicians? Mm-hmm. We as a society need to be better about this stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Be smart about this. Choose your battles wisely. When you see somebody that is maybe corrupt or something like that, maybe keep it to your significant other, or maybe keep it to certain specific politicians.
Right.
But to lump everybody into it, would you want to be lumped into a category? Would you want to be lumped into everything negatively? No.
No.
No. We all can be better about politics in this country. There's a lot of finger pointing. There's a lot of divisiveness. There's not a lot of that.
Right.
We have this in common, everybody. We're all been bad at this.
Yeah.
We've all made mistakes. Yeah. We could all get better about it.
Yeah, we can. Absolutely.
And I kind of want to play a politician. I've been thinking about this, like my next role.
It's an interesting one.
My agent's been on me about auditioning more as soon as the play is done and stuff.
Right.
And so we're talking about roles, and this role came up about it. And I'm like, I've never played a politician. Like, it's just somebody running for office. Spoiler alert, they don't win. But I was kind of tempted to audition. I'm kind of tempted by
it. Okay, well, maybe you never know.
As far as jobs that are a little bit paid for, people are paid for that, you know, we don't understand why. Life coaches. Along with that, motivational speakers.
Time I see anything, you know, like a motivational speaker, you know, like the, I could change your life, you know, earn money doing this, that, that. Yeah, you are on the path of doing it because you're going to be successful because you're getting people's money for telling them this stuff. Yeah, that's the only one who's really making money and being successful is you.
If people are getting help, that's what matters. And if it's in a healthy way, that's great.
Right.
But unfortunately, almost every single one of these involve money.
Yeah.
And you paying somebody to try to motivate you.
Mm-hmm.
You paying somebody to try to encourage you.
Right.
And that's a waste of money.
Yeah.
Because that's in
it really
you.
Is.
It's in every single one of us. Yeah. And Seth's so right about this. The only people really making anything from that is these
the
motivational
people doing
speakers.
The one. Yeah, right.
And I'm sorry, but I think that if you really want motivation, you know there's somebody in your life probably
right.
that is your motivational speaker.
Right.
Whether it's a best friend or it's a relative, I know for me, my God, I got a lot of people I can go to. But at the very least, if I ever needing a motivation, all I got to do is say two words to my mother, and I will be fine. I will be fine for a good couple of years.
Man, I worked at a credit union many years ago, and we would have a day for the staff to go, you know, a retreat thing. And they always got these motivational speakers. Here's the other thing. You don't have to have any qualifications to be a motivational speaker. And man, did we get some bad ones.
Yeah.
Oh, they were awful. Ugh.
Mm. Ugh. Multi-level marketing. A lot of people think they're running their own business, but for many MLMs, they end up standing for most loose money or most lose money.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. It's a scam. It is a scam. I don't care if it's the biggest Amway. It's a scam. It's all a scam.
Have we learned nothing from Homer Simpson? There is no get rich quick.
No.
It doesn't exist.
No.
It does. Now, I'm sorry. There is the lottery.
There's
those
one.
Things. I suppose there is literally
random chance.
It is literally one example of getting rich quick. That's it. End of list. Anything else, somebody's trying to sell you something.
Yep. Exactly.
They're going to get rich, but
again,
not you.
We're seeing a pattern here.
Yep. And finally on the list, we have, where was it? Door people. People that open doors for others and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Used to see this at hotels a lot and some of that.
Right.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that job, that gig, but it does seem like it's kind of gone to the, you know.
To be fair, they do a lot more than just open the doors,
They
have other duties. Yeah. It's not just that.
Well,
yeah.
Oftentimes, I know at one of my aunt's houses it was a fancy place and mm-hmm. everything. They were a bit security as well.
That too. Yeah.
You know, so there's that. So that one's a little bit tougher, but I wanted to also mention on this list, CEOs.
You're not wrong.
Yep.
You're not wrong. What do they do? What do they do?
Yep. Ask a CEO what they do sometime. Like hey. I'm not talking about nonprofits
right.
or certain industries,
right.
obviously. Hopefully, obviously.
Right.
But yes.
Hey.
I'll
ask you, you're at a company, if your CEO will jump in and help with small technical problems like ours does.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's a difference.
That's the difference right there. Yeah.
We're pretty fortunate in that regard. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Mm-hmm.
Got some fun stuff to wrap up the hour with locally we want to touch on. As well, of course, get you ready for the 10 o'clock hour, where we will kick things off with our Pet of the Week from the South Oconee Humane Society.
Very nice.
We'll have that for you. Has some entertainment news. And since we're talking animals, we will also have the dog-themed songs that made the top 40 on Billboard's Hot 100 list.
Very cool.
Getting into that a little bit later. Right now, who's scrolling the most? Who is scrolling the most? We have the states that scroll on their phones the most, measured in miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I see. I see where they're going with that.
A fun twist on this.
Yeah, I'll take it.
A new study looked at how much people scroll on their phones and then converted the distance that you might move through feeds into miles.
Wow.
And according to the data, the state that scrolls the farthest is Arizona.
Scrolls the farthest. I like that.
People there scroll 115.4 miles per year, which is roughly the distance between Phoenix and Tucson.
Oh, really?
It is Tucson, right?
It's Tucson, right? Yeah, Tucson. Yeah. You're correct.
There's also the equivalent of almost 9 hours of screen time per day. That's intense.
That's a lot.
This reminds me of every once in a while you see, if you took 20 football fields, this is the distance, or some of those things that we do.
The thing about measuring everything in football fields, I don't know.
We have a thing with that.
It's 100 yards, I guess. Yeah.
But we just even in measuring things, we have a thing with that. We love to measure things.
It's with society. Football fields, yes.
And then we love to compare that measurement to other measurements. we really do this a lot.
It's very strange. I don't know why.
And it's like, it's not even generational. Like, yep. We've been doing this like since the early 1900s. Right. We've been doing it. Right. You see articles and stuff about how far it would be to get to Alaska, right, or something. And it would be 10 football fields.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
It's wild that what is it with our humanity that we need to measure things? We have to measure stuff.
Everything must be categorized.
It's interesting. I like it. I actually don't mind it, but it's kind of funny. I never thought about it before. There's also the equivalent, Washington was second with 108.2 miles, followed by Kentucky with 105, Missouri at 102, New Mexico at 96. The rest of the top 10, Texas with 95, Maryland 95, Louisiana at 93, South Carolina at 92, and Georgia at 91.
Okay.
Oddly enough, a lot of those near each other.
Yes, they are. Although some of them were out of Kentucky. Really? That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And how did Kentucky get in on this?
Yeah, that one kind of threw me. Yeah.
Well,
unfortunately, they didn't list the states that traveled the fewest miles while scrolling, but according to one of their data sources, it looks like the bottom five would be Kansas, Maine, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Massachusetts.
Okay.
Overall, the average American spends 6 hours and 35 minutes per day on screens, which adds up to 2,403 hours annually, mm-hmm. and people check their devices on average of 58 times a day.
Yeah, I can see that. Although, to be fair, that's not scrolling. You're not scrolling the whole time. So, I mean, but I get that for context, I guess.
I'm going to be honest.
How much we're doing.
I feel like I'm going to have a different reaction than some on this. I'm a little surprised those numbers are that low. I think that's kind of encouraging.
Right.
We've done stories like this, I would say, for the last 7-8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they are usually much higher numbers,
right,
when it comes to stuff like this.
Right.
I do think that you are seeing, while subtle and not a lot, not a gigantic one, I do think you are seeing a change in this. I do mm-hmm. think you are seeing a lot more people pulling away and not scrolling as much.
Right.
It is nearly impossible to just quit, to just stop.
Right.
And I think one of the things, and this comes from growing up with an addict, mm-hmm. to be honest, and him defeating that addiction, mm-hmm. Is, you know, trying to do things cold turkey rarely works.
Mm.
Some it does. My mm-hmm. papa woke up one morning, didn't want to smoke anymore. Mm-hmm. He had his reason. Something happened. He didn't want to do it anymore.
Yep.
That man stopped, and that was it.
Yep.
Never touched another bit of nicotine. Every once in a while, you have people that can do this.
Yes.
But not everybody is built that way.
No.
And oftentimes, when you do that to yourself, you're not going to be able to solve it.
Right.
So you have to know how you work. And mm-hmm. most people, it takes little bits and pieces.
Right.
And I think you're seeing that in society right now.
Right.
People in general are taking maybe they're not on, they're on a lot, but they're 5% less,
right,
or 10% less, or something like that.
And we have to remember too, it's you know, so yeah, people spend a lot of dead time on it too. But I mean, we're checking emails, you know, we're looking up our bank statements, you know, all the different things that our phones do now. It takes the place of other things. So yes, it's on a screen, and I understand why people can get a little, you know, nervous about how much time we're looking at these things. But at the same time, we're just filling that time up with stuff we did other things with, basically, you know.
Well, we
replacing things.
We're still using the kind of like trope, or the we're labeling, if you're on your phone, you're just scrolling and looking at social media and all that.
Wasting time, right? Yeah.
Where, to your point, now so much of, I would say, out of the 100% list here of me being on my phone, the pie chart of me being on my phone,
right,
the majority, well over the majority of it, is work.
Yep.
It's all work-related mm-hmm. stuff. And if it ain't work-related, it has to do with my career, which is my passion and all that.
Yeah, that's still other things, too. Yeah, I mean, it's all related to all the different stuff we do.
I talked to, like, 3 people. I easily reach more people doing this job than I talk to in my personal life. I don't know if I should have said that, but I'm being honest. I really don't talk to that many people. So I don't use my phone for a lot of social media things. Mm-hmm. But I'm on it a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that idea is something to remember too with that.
100%.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it also a little bit like when the book reading where you'd have the book you're supposed to be reading and inside was an actual like a comic book or something? Is it like that with our phones now?
Back in the day, right?
I need to do this. I have work-related stuff. What is the score of the game?
Yeah, right.
We had a couple of notes I wanted to get to before we wrap up the hour. There will be no Cowboy Union Jam in September, originally scheduled on September 10th. They will return on October 8th at 1 o'clock at McMillan Library, and that second Wednesday of the month.
That's very cool.
Be sure to check out them. Buy local support the artists in this area, like our great friends at the Cowboy Union Jam. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get them on this winter on Playhouse. We haven't had them on yet.
We have not, and I think we should.
We'll reach out to them.
Yeah,
We will. That'll be a good one.
We can always make him get up early and come to the Sunrise Show, too.
I
love doing that to musicians.
See, you and I, man, there's that sharing of the brain again, because as I said, Playhouse, I was thinking, they'd be perfect for the Sunrise Show.
Yes.
Also wanted to mention that our great friends over at the Southwick County Historical Museum at 540 3rd Street South here in Wisconsin Rapids have their final week of the 2025 exhibit season.
Mm.
The Historical Museum will wrap things up this Sunday, August 31st. Explore our local history. Keep history alive. And get on over there. Say hi to Phil and the team and the great work that they do. They're open Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday, 1 to 4. Don't miss it. And if you don't get a chance to get over there, please make plans next year when they open up to get on over there.
They always bring in such great traveling exhibits along with the normal stuff. And, of course, they'll be doing the Christmas trees in December as well, they always do, too. So they'll be doing other things.
Really appreciate the team over there. Great people. Yep. Keep up the great work and keep history alive over there, everybody. And a quick reminder, the Wood County Swimming Beaches are going to be closed as of, they'll be open through Labor Day weekend and will close for the season on Tuesday, September 2nd. We hope you enjoyed the beaches this year and we hope to see you again next year. Also, keep in mind that those camping grounds that a lot of you want out there are going to be, wrapping up real quick. So get your reservations in now.
Yep.
I know that I was talking with Lance yesterday about this in Sierra Park. There's a bunch of great ones, but they're going to be used up quick. They're going to get reserved real quick.
Yep.
You can find out more by going to parksreservations.woodcounty.wi.gov or throw it into your searcher engine there and you'll be able to find it. Big shout out to our Parks and Forestry Department keeping us up to date on all these things.
Yeah.
We really do appreciate the city working with us. I've had some listeners complain to me about some of the construction and not knowing about some of these things ahead of time and everything.
Right.
But even with that, there's so much that we get covered. I appreciate them.
Yep.
We'll be back with more show coming up.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media.